Welcome to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, a show where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Your host is Dr. Anton Raimondo, who will be your spiritual fitness doctor, giving you practical spiritual insights and solutions from Scripture, church teachings, and saint stories to soothe your soul. And now, here is Dr. Anton Raimondo.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimondo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And I am your spiritual fitness doctor, where I will try to improve your spiritual fitness by knowing more scripture, applying it to your daily life, whatever news events, stories, to make you spiritually stronger so you can withstand the struggles and crises in your life. And so today, I have a special approach to this program. I'm going to dedicate it to mothers out there, to our own mother, right? To our grandmother, our great-grandmother, even our godmother and mother-in-laws, right? To those moms who are expecting and those who have had lost their babies. And of course, I want to talk about our spiritual mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and also other Catholic mothers who are nuns and mothers of various religious organizations, right? So, such as Mother Angelica and Saint Mother Teresa. I'll be sharing various quotes from such saints, but also I'll dive into the mystery behind Our Lady when, as she became a mother and also had to flee from the Holy Land, from Bethlehem, to go to Egypt. And I'll end the program with sharing a little story about my own mother who had given me or made me memorize a poem that I learned that was a favorite of us Filipino kids when we grew up. So before I get any further, I want to make sure we're also going to give honor to our Father in heaven and Our Lady. So let's pray the Our Father and Hail Mary together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'm going to share a real quick quote here from Mother Angelica, talking about faith, hope, and love. And this is what she said. You know, Mother Angelica is the founder of EWTN, and you know, so she's the mother of the Poor Clares. And some people may wonder, like, why are they named the Poor Clares? Well, Saint Clare, who's the mother of the Poor Clares, she was Clare of Assisi. She was the patron saint of television. And people may wonder, well, why in the world did Mother Angelica name her nuns or follow the Poor Clares? And how did Clare of Assisi become the patron saint of television when back then, what was it, the 1200s? they didn't have television. Well, if I remember the story, the way it goes is that Claire liked to partake in the morning matins, right? The morning office, the morning prayer, and also mass. But she was so sick, she couldn't make it to the church or the chapel where they prayed. And she asked the Lord while she was in her bed, sick, you know, can she still watch them somehow? So the Lord obliged, and he allowed her to see on her wall of her cell, of her room, like a TV. In other words, she was able to peer through as if she was remotely viewing on a screen on in her cell what was going on in the chapel, the morning prayers, the mass. And so hence she became the patron of television, and Mother Angelica started, you know, the Poor Clares and Eternal Word Network, and you know, and it's been the largest successful Catholic television network in the world. And by the way, you know, In His Sign Catholic Radio had started radio before EWTN started radio, and had a continuous running program, from what I understand. So In His Sign Catholic Radio has made a name for itself. And so we thank In His Sign Catholic Radio and also WTMR for having us on. So let me give you that quote from from Mother Angelica, who's not up for sainthood yet. I was about to call her a saint. But here is one of her quotes. And it says, "Faith is what gets you started. Hope is what keeps you going. Love is what brings you to the end." And so ain't that the truth, right? I mean, she needed faith, hope, and love to start her endeavor. And she, you know, actually had another quote that also led her on to confirm all of this. And you might have heard this quote. Again, it's called, not again, but it's the first time. It says, "Unless you are willing to do the ridiculous, God will not do the miraculous." Again, I'll read that again. "Unless you are willing to do the ridiculous, God will not do the miraculous." So just like, how would a nun who has no competency or expertise, I shall say, in, you know, TV and radio, start her own business and grow it from, I think they literally raised funds by what you call selling peanuts and making some other trinkets and so forth. But she was willing to do the ridiculous, to the point that it's the largest Catholic international TV radio network out there worldwide. So anyway, that's the thing about Mother Angelica. I have a bunch more quotes that I'll share later on, but I wanted to give my credit to my own mother, who was the one who worked with God in giving me faith. In other words, it was God gave faith to me through my mother, and I can never thank my mother enough for doing that. And that happened to me when I was about 3 to 4 years old. And you may say, "How's that, Dr. Anton? Aren't you too young to remember?" Well, no, actually, people do remember. Kids do remember as young as 2. Even. And I do recall, you know, flying over here from the Philippines as a 3-year-old to America and other things, you know, and even as a 2-year-old, my mother talking to me and taping me on a voice recorder and teaching me and to memorize different poems. And I will share some of those touching poems at the end of the show. So if you hang on to the end, hopefully you'll be able to get the treat and hear these beautiful poems that maybe you may want to teach your young children, if you're listening, your grandchildren, if you want, or a niece or a nephew or some school children. So anyway, what I wanted to share is this story from my mother, and, you know, may she rest in peace. So, you know, with Mother's Day coming this Sunday, you know, I want to make sure that everybody out there gives honor to their mother, right? And if you think about it, the first words that babies make usually is mom, right? Right, ma or mama, you know, mommy. And then they may say dad or dada, right? Sometimes it's the other way around. Dada is actually easier to say dad than ma. And so, you know, I remember I was just so happy when my firstborn son was able to say, you know, dada there. But again, you know, moms are so special, right? And so I will be talking also about not only Blessed Mother, but our first mom, Eve, and then also other moms as well. So with my mom, the way she cooperated with God to give me faith was when she told me as a like 3 and a half, 4-year-old that she was going to take me to church. This one is actually when I was 6 years old, 5 years old now. Now I remember it was five because we had just moved. We used to live in the Mission District in San Francisco. Some of you may, that's a famous area. It was known for some of the best music artists, such as Carlos Santana. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Carlos Santana, but he was in our neighborhood in the Mission District, and we only lived there for like 6 months. So that's why I was thinking, well, was I four there or was I closer to five? And so anyway, when we moved to the house that we lived in for the rest of my life there in San Francisco, she said, I'm going to take you to where God lives at his church. And I was so excited that I was going to go to God's house. And so we sat on the right side of the church. And being as small as I was, it was really hard to see over, you know, the pew, especially if I had to kneel. But also there was this big pillar that was lining the right side and also the left side of the church. And so I really couldn't see what was going on. And plus people were taller than me. And so I couldn't see that. And I remember hearing a loud, dignified, booming voice. And looking back at it, it must have been the priest, you know, reading the gospel during the mass. And when I heard the voice, because God, my mom said she's taking me to God's house, I wondered, was that God's voice? So that I asked my mom, I looked up to her and I said, Mom, is that God talking? And then she looked down at me, paused a bit, that I noticed, like, why was she pausing? And then she said, yes, it is. And if you think about it, I can understand why there was a pause. It was because it was the priest who was reading the gospel. But in essence, what is she reading? She's reading the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself. So the words that were being read from Scripture are the words from God written on paper, yes, through the voice of the priest reading it. So in that sense, she was right, although, of course, it was the priest speaking, right? And so and when I heard that voice, I cherished, I had made this big sigh, and I just said, like, well, wow, I was just in so awe and wonder. And ever since I heard that day and forevermore, when I go to church, I always want to hear the word of God, whether that be in the silence of my heart, or whether it be through the readings and the gospel, or when the priest is giving a homily, or doing the liturgy of the Eucharist, you know, I'm really open to the Word of God. And that's how faith came to me through my mother, because of the gift from God to me through my mom. So thank you, Mom. You know, part of the reason I also get bittersweet feelings around Mother's Day is because, you know, the day after Mother's Day back in 1991 was actually May 13th, the feast day of Fatima, or you know, the day that the Blessed Mother appeared the first time. The last time was, of course, on October 13, 1917. But May 13, 1991, I remember that because, you know, Sunday was Mother's Day, and we, you know, we're celebrating that. And then the next day, my mom gets a phone call from a procedure They're giving her the reports, and they told her that she had cancer. She had stomach cancer, and everybody remembered that. It was just like we were so happy on Sunday, Mother's Day, that on Monday she gets this report from the doctor and tells us she has cancer. You know, and so, you know, they had to do a laparotomy and check to see if they can take out the cancer, but it had spread to the liver. It was just so much that it was like a softball size and nobody caught it, you know, and was in the stomach and went to the liver. And so, you know, she ended up dying within 6 months, you know, the day after Christmas, you know. And so it's bittersweet for me to talk about my mother during Mother's Day, because it's really a happy day. But at the same time, I just remember that sad news the day after. But I look at it this way, where, you know, when she gave us this news, it was on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And I didn't know it at the time. I was just overcome with the news. But I know that she's in good hands with our mother. You know, even though it's 35 years ago, it still hurts to think about losing my own mom. So any of you out there who lost your own mom, you know, it's still Mother's Day. You don't have to just remember her on her Mother's Day. You can remember her on your birthday. You can remember her when it was her birthday too. So don't forget her, not just when she passed. You know, if she passed, the day she passed away, but also her birthday. Those of you who still have your mother alive, well, God bless you, and you thank her. Make sure you give her a kiss. You know, give her some flowers or candy, whatever you can. Make a surprise, write a card, something heartfelt. And those of you who are not on speaking terms with your mom, get right with her while you still have her. Treasure her, okay? And don't let time go by without making peace with your old mom, and for that matter, with your dad or anyone else in your family. So the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, a mom's voice is so healing and so comforting, isn't it? I mean, from a baby being caressed by his mom, her mom, and nursing at the breast there, and hearing the voice of mom, the baby will calm down even before nursing or even before being picked up. And so, you know, if you ever wonder why alerts, you know, like the airplane pilots, when they can be a regular commercial airline pilot or a fighter jet pilot, when their alerts go on, they actually have a woman's voice there. And scientifically, why they do that is because they found out by having a woman's voice tell them to be alerted to something, it will give them more calm and peace, because it harkens back to the voice of their own mom. And now, albeit it's not going to be the same voice, but just that it's a female voice. And, you know, people, male or female, respond to the female voice. Why? Because universally, it's because our own moms, right? Another thing that people may not realize, that even soldiers in war, when they are scared that they may die and they're in a foxhole or they feel trapped, it was not uncommon for a fellow soldier to hear somebody yelling out for and crying out for their mom. It's not like they're scared or, you know, a coward or that they're a baby. That it's just this natural calling out for one's mom. In fact, I remember my dad, when we took care of him here out in Westchester, where I'm Westchester, Pennsylvania, here where, you know, I'm broadcasting. My dad, I can hear him. He would sleep talk, and in his sleep talk, I would hear him calling out to his mom. You know, even though, you know, he was in his 60s and through his 70s, and he died before he was 80 years old, he would call out to his mom. And so this is what we are programmed to do. It's just inherent in our nature. That's how our physical bodies are. But with that said, we also have within us, God has programmed it, so to speak. Actually, it's like a natural predilection, right? It's like gravity. Like there's a natural pull that we do have the free will to say yes or no, of course, to love our mom or not love our mom. But there's just this natural reaction or natural response. Well, not that it is instinct, but I mean, there is. But at the same time, we also have that soup, what you call with a supernatural sense that God gives us to our spiritual mom, which is the Blessed Mother. So with that said, let me talk about the Blessed Mother and our own mother and make a connection there. Do you know that when you were in your mom's womb, that the cells from your mom and you were being exchanged through what is called the placenta, you know, the blood, the blood flow would be transferred from, you know, back and forth. And that there's a phenomenon called microchimerism, and it's maternal or fetal microchimerism. And what that is where the blood comes from the mother, or the blood comes from the fetus, therefore it's called fetal or maternal, and the cells are exchanged. And when the fetal microchimerism occurs, those cells go into the mom and actually help heal her wounds, also goes to some of the vital organs, because these cells from the baby are like stem cells, or what we call mesenchymal cells, the placental cells, that are brand new cells that can form into cells that she may need for her brain, for her heart, for her lungs, for her liver. And scientists have been able to pinpoint and find these cells even after the mom had the baby. It'll still be in there, what, 20 odd years or more. And it'll be on her skin, you know, kidney and so forth. And so these cells are even in there for each children. So if you are a mother and you've had like two kids or more, so let's just keep it at two, those two children that you've had, their cells are still in you, that they're there to help you live longer, to fight off potentially cancer or any, to help you healing. And it makes sense that God, the divine physician, would want mom to be able to live longer so she could take care and rear and nurture her children. And so even though she's no longer carrying you as a child and your siblings, she actually still carries the aggregate, the whole family there. So in our particular case, you know, I thank God that, you know, my wife wanted a lot of kids like I did, and that we had all these different pregnancies. We had a novena of pregnancies. We had 7 live births and 9 total. And so even all 9 of those pregnancies, she would still have those cells from those fetuses, from those babies. And so, and at the same time, mom cells would be exchanged to the baby through the placenta. And so the baby would grow up, meaning you all that are listening, that you have some of your mom's cells in you. So thanks be to God for that. Now, let me take it a little further here. Now, let's apply this to the Blessed Mother and Jesus, right? Now, Blessed Mother was immaculately conceived without sin. And she was a virgin, yet she conceived Jesus. Now, that's not called the Immaculate Conception when she conceived Jesus, right? So that's when the Annunciation, March 25th, when the angel Gabriel went to the Blessed Mother and told the Blessed Mother and asked the Blessed Mother, essentially, would she be the Mother of God? And she gave her yes, which is called in Latin called fiat, her fiat, not meaning the car, the Italian car being her, but it's fiat, it let it be, right? And so that was the day that Jesus was conceived in the virginal womb of the Blessed Mother, and his birthday would be 9 months later. So March 25th, nine months later, would be December 25th. So when she conceived, you know, the only genes that were there was from her. There is no male gene from any man, because the spouse, the true spouse of the Blessed Mother, is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was the one that overshadowed Our Lady, and Our Lady was a virgin and stayed perpetually a virgin, never had relations with Saint Joseph, never had any children. That's a dogma of our faith, and we have to believe that. It's not voluntary or elective to believe. It's a dogma. It's a must do belief. So the point was, like I was talking about this microchimerism, and that word microchimerism, it comes from the chimera. You know, it's a Greek mythology of a hybrid of an animal, what, two animals. But here, you know, not that we're two different animals, we're the same species, right? We are a hybrid. We're both spirit and a human, a body. So we're a combination of that. Whereas angels are pure spirits, they don't have a body, and animals, they don't have a spirit like we do that lives forever. They have a body. Anyway, so let's go back to here. This microchimerism, the Blessed Mother would exchange her cells into Jesus, and of course he would have the genes there to be a male for some reason, because it was from the Holy Spirit, but there are no male genes, right, from any other man. It's from the Holy Spirit. And here, Jesus's genes or cells would go to the Blessed Mother. And so she contained cells that were of our Lord. So she was literally walking around with cells of our Lord, with the Lord dwelling literally within her. You know how when we have the Eucharist, how in those few minutes, the 5 to 10 minutes after the Eucharist, we physically have our Lord and Savior, you know, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We have him within ourselves, because Jesus made that commandment that if we don't eat his flesh and we don't eat his drink his blood, we will not have life within us, and we won't live forever in heaven. It's soul food. It's the medicine for eternity. And so he gives us this. And so for communion, but that goes away after 5-10 minutes. But here's the Blessed Mother through her life. You know, she gave birth to Jesus when she was, 15 years old, maybe 16, and she died somewhere between, if I remember right, either 58 or to 63, somewhere around there, depending on who you read for private revelation. So she was literally carrying our Lord in her body, whether those cells from our Lord came to implant itself in her brain, on her heart, you know, on her liver, her lungs, her kidneys, elsewhere, her skin. And the same thing with our Lord. There was the maternal cells that into from the Blessed Mother to Jesus. And the last thing that I want to say about this scientific fact of microchimerism is that when the Holy Spirit gave life to us, that means the Holy Spirit touched you in your mother's womb and created you. That at the moment of conception, that you were touched by this Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. And when he touched you, he also touched you where? In your mother's womb. So your mother's womb is also sanctified, touched by the Holy Spirit. So this is why a mother's womb is really holy. It's Our Lady's womb is holy. It's like a tabernacle, if you will, because it held Jesus Christ himself. Now, if we apply that to you in your mother's womb, the Holy Spirit gave you life, touched you and your mother's womb. So you were blessed from the get-go because of the Holy Spirit touching you and touching your mom. So let's also give glory to the Holy Spirit and God, the Holy Trinity, for giving life to us and also touching our mother's womb. So now let's get to the beginning here of the Old Testament. Look at our first mom. That would be our first, that we all descended from would be Eve, right? The mother of mankind. And Eve, you know, she was, Adam and Eve were both told in Genesis chapter 1 that they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. But here's the question. Did they have children before or after the fall, the original sin? In other words, when they ate the forbidden fruit, when did they have fulfilled this command that God told Adam and Eve in the first chapter of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply? Well, it was after the fall. So that raises the question, was there any kind of, were they not cooperating with God in being fruitful and multiplying? Were they putting any kind of barrier or any kind of, or why didn't they have any children yet? Was there a mindset that they didn't want to have any yet, that they didn't want to be fruitful and multiply, that instead that they that Eve instead of being fruitful took of the fruit instead of being fruitful of her own? So here is Eve, that Eve was deceived by the devil who possessed the serpent, and Eve was deceived and ate of the fruit that she was not to eat of. And then not only that, gave a few to Adam to eat, and Adam was not deceived like Eve. Adam disobeyed because he fully knew from God, who directly told him not to eat of the fruit of the tree of lest he die, right? And that that he shouldn't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And so it was in chapter 3 that they committed the original sin of Genesis, and then in chapter 4 is when they had children. So they became, you know, our parents of all the human race. And that was the story of our original mom of humanity, Adam and Eve, and Eve being the original Eve, and the new Eve would be Our Lady. And so let me talk about Our Lady, who is considered the new Eve, where, you know, when she received the Holy Spirit and being conceived by Jesus, conceiving Jesus in her womb, that she was told by the angel Gabriel that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant already 6 months. You know what? I had actually forgotten to take a break here. So we're at the bottom of the hour. So let's take a quick break, and then if anybody wants to call in, to please do. If you had any questions or comments or want to say something for your mom, please do. The number here is 856-962-8178. The number is 856-962-8178. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And if you're interested in calling and saying hello or just giving a shout-out to your mom, the number here is 856-962-8178. 856-962-8178. We'd love to hear from you. If you had any questions or comments or prayer requests, please call. All right. So I want to continue here where the Blessed Mother, after she gave her fiat that she would be the Mother of God, she went in haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And when she traveled to the hill country in haste. And that place was called Ein Kerem. And that was about 90 to 100 miles away. And so that would take about 4 to 7 days to go there, you know, whether that be your donkey or caravan. And it went up to, you know, like 2,000 something plus feet to go that way. And it was said that she, you know, went there with, you know, part of the way with St. Joseph. And so here, she would be newly pregnant. So in other words, if she went right away, let's say that very day, and made it there in 4 to 7 days, that means she would have been 4 days or 7 days pregnant. If she went there within, let's say, a week, it would just be up about 2 weeks pregnant. And what happens when she goes and in Zachariah's house and sees Elizabeth? Do you guys remember what happened there and the words that Elizabeth spoke? Well, Elizabeth, this is the first chapter of Luke, and Elizabeth, upon hearing Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. That means that was John the Baptist, and that actually corroborates, is consistent with what we see in obstetrics, that, or that you moms out there know, that in your fifth or sixth month, that's the first time you will feel the baby moving, kicking, and it's called quickening. And so she felt that. That confirms that she was in her sixth month. And Elizabeth, it says here, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So in other words, she wasn't going to be lying now for whatever she's saying. So Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So and she goes on, "For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed." that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And so what's so amazing here is she declares through the Holy Spirit that she's blessed. That's why we call her the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother, the Blessed Mary, because that's scriptural. We're not adding something that wasn't scripture. We Catholics are Bible-believing Christians, and many people don't believe that or think that. Anyway, that it also says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. So here, this Mary is the new Eve, that she bore fruit. And so just like Adam and Eve didn't bear fruit right away, they took fruit that they shouldn't have. And here the Blessed Mother is bearing fruit. And the thing is that Elizabeth says in humility, she says, how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Elizabeth is much older, and she's the one that deserves more honor and respect because of being older, but yet she is humbled that the mother of my Lord, so she declares that the baby inside the Blessed Mother, inside Mary, is God. She declares that this is God inside Mary's womb, and she declares that Mary is a mother, even though she might be only a week, 4 days, 7 days, or 14 days pregnant. So in other words, all you women out there who are expecting, that even early on in your pregnancy, that even though you didn't deliver a baby yet, you are a mother. So if you had lost a baby for one reason or another, you had miscarried or what have you, that you're still a mother. And so here it is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth cries out to the Blessed Mother, who is probably about 2 weeks, let's just say that, pregnant, that she's a mom. She's the mother of who? The Lord, meaning God. She's the mother of God. And this is a dogma that we believe in from the Council of Ephesus in the year 431 A.D. Anyway, so that's just pretty cool there. I just thought that, again, all you moms out there, you are moms at the very moment of conception, just like what during the Annunciation, March 25th, when the angel Gabriel told the Blessed Mother that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and that she will bear the Son of the Most High. Anyway, I want to give a quote here from Our Lady when she appeared, because she is our spiritual mom, right? And this quote is from Our Lady of Guadalupe, from Mexico, December 12, 1531. And she says, do not fear any illness or vexation, anguish or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? So here's Our Lady of Guadalupe, who appears in Mexico, Central America. And so all of the Americas, both North and South and Central, the Blessed Mother comes strategically in the center of Mexico to convert over 9 million new believers, Indians, to make up for those who are leaving the Catholic faith in Europe because of the what Martin Luther did in the year 1517, right, with the so-called Reformation. Anyway, so she is our mother, and she's telling us, don't fear any illness, because Juan Diego, the Indian, was worried that his uncle was going to die, and so she was saying to the Indian Juan Diego, don't fear of any illness or vexation, anguish or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? So she's being our spiritual mother to Juan Diego, but also to us. Now, some of you listening here may say, well, I don't believe in that. In fact, aren't Catholics not obligated to believe in, even though it's approved by the Church? You're right. We're not obligated to believe in Our Lady Guadalupe. But, she left a vivid picture of her on the Tilma that still lasts to this very day. And people can see that and visit there. The Tilma's made of cactus fiber, and that's only supposed to last 50 years. And so it's still around since the year 1531 in all its glory of showing the portrait of God's own mother, Jesus' own mother. But here, let me give you some biblical proof why we should take the Blessed Mother as our spiritual mother. Because it happened at the foot of the cross. The Blessed Mother was there at the foot of the cross where Jesus was dying. And before Jesus died, he said seven different words. And one of them, he gave his mom to the care of John the Apostle. Specifically, he said, "Mother," talking to his mom, "behold your son," talking to John the Apostle. Then he turned to John and said, "Son, behold your mother." And so meaning, John, this is your mom. Take her as your mom. Now, we all know John, whose brother is James and John, their father was Zebedee, and their mother was Salome. This is a different Salome, the one who did the dance, you know, not the one who did the dance to get John the Baptist's head cut off. This is Salome, and who's married to Zebedee. So James and John, the sons of Zebedee, okay? And so, of course, John has his real biological mom. So this can't be saying that, hey, don't view your mom Salome as your real mom. Your real mom now is the Blessed Mother. No, Jesus is making sure John is going to take care of his of Blessed Mother, but take her physically into your home and take care of her, and she is now your spiritual mom. Why? Because the Blessed Mother remained a virgin, never had any other children. It would be totally an insult for somebody to give away their mom to somebody else if there was other children to take care of the mom. I mean, look what I did. I took care of my dad. I didn't have anybody else take care of him because I was still alive, or my brother, my siblings were alive, or I was to take care of him. So anyway, that's the biblical proof that John literally took in the Blessed Mother. So we should literally take in the Blessed Mother spiritually into our home, whether that's by praying the Hail Mary, the Rosary, you know, the pictures, the statues. We're not committing idolatry. No. If you have a picture of your mom in your room and you fondly look at her and tell her you love her, that doesn't mean you're committing idolatry and you're worshiping her. You're giving honor to your mom, and we're doing the same. We're honoring our mom. We're giving her honor and respect, but we only worship Jesus Christ and we adore Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Trinity. We do not worship, we do not adore. In fact, you can ask any Catholic, do you worship or adore Blessed Mother as God? No, of course we don't. But people often mistake us as if we are worshiping the Blessed Mother as if she's God, and she's not. We know she's not God. She's the mom, but we're giving her love and respect. And here, in turn, she appears in Mexico in the year 1531 and tells us that she is our mother, and do not fear, just like the Blessed Mother, just like Jesus tells us, do not fear. So let me go on now to another quote that Our Lady says, Our Lady Guadalupe. She says, "I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who lived united in this land." It's amazing she used the word united in this land, like the United States, right? But also Central America unites North and South America. So she says that, "I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries," meaning you don't have to be one of those Aztec Indians, Mexican Indians. You could be whatever nationality, white, black, Asian, whatever, you know? And it says, "My lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust me." So in other words, if you love her, she also loves you, you know? And she says, "Here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal their sorrows, hardships, and suffering." So she's saying that those people, you know, when you visit her there, you may actually be healed physically from your diseases or from your sorrows or hardships or sufferings. One way or another, she will help heal you, if not miraculously from a physical ailment, from something else. All right. So let me go on here because I promised you that I would read this special poem that I learned as a kid from my mom. But here's something, too, that, again, I wanted to share that, you know, when I used to practice anesthesia, I worked 100 to 120 hours a week. Well, why? Because I did so much call for labor and delivery. It got to the point where I was the main doctor there about in the suburbs of San Francisco in the East Bay. And I was there for all the deliveries. It was a requirement. So even though the obstetrician would deliver the baby, he wouldn't hand the baby directly to mom afterward. He would hand the baby off to me to quickly assess the baby to check what they call APGARs, you know, the first minute and the fifth minute will weigh and dry the baby and so forth and suction. But I was there to help resuscitate the baby if needed. But why I'm mentioning is this, you know, after that, I'd hand the baby over to mom. So I had the distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure of being able to see the miracles of life every day that I worked there. It was amazing to see the newborn life and see the couple there, mom and dad, so happy to see this miracle of them that they had co-created with the Holy Spirit right in front of them, that they have a new soul that will live forever and hopefully in heaven. And so one great memory that I had is when I saved the life, I've saved the life of a few babies there. And one was when I was in a shopping mall. I was with my own family, and then I remember seeing a mom wheel her, have a baby carriage or stroller, I should say. And the baby might have been just like 1 year old, but this mom said, "Look, there's Dr. Raimundo," and she said, "He saved your life." Like she actually remembered me, whether the baby was now a year old or older. She actually remembered who I was and said, "That's the doctor who saved your life." And so these are the things that, that just really just struck to me about moms will remember all the good that was done to them to save their baby, to save their life. So thank your doctors also for your good obstetricians, your nurses, and even your anesthesiologists who might have given you an epidural, because that's what I was pretty much doing epidurals and helping relieve the pain for mom and all. And so... And so the thing is, you know, even though I've saved many babies, I actually did lose my own baby. My wife and I lost our second born son. So, but God is good, and we got to have more children, even though we were told not to have any more after that second one. So baby Andre, we love you, and we know that he's in heaven there. We got to baptize him emergently, is responsible for many different miracles in our life. One quote I wanted to share with Mother Teresa, she said, "A life not lived for others is not a life." And she said that she says, "Every time you smile at somebody, it is an action of love, a gift to that person, a beautiful thing." And she says, there's a longer quote that I can read, but you know what? I want to read this poem before I run out of time, because I got like 3-4 minutes left here. And the name of this poem is called My Mother by Juan Salazar. He's a Filipino poet who passed away in 1909. But my mom had taught me this when I was just two, and she had taped me, and so I had a very thick Filipino accent. She would help me remember that, hey, I taped you when you knew this poem by heart. And so she wrote this in her own handwriting before she died so I could remember her. And so here's the poem. It's called My Mother. It says, "I wish to write of my mother. My mother, loving and kind, who to me more than any other is the idol of my mind. She cared for me in my boyhood with a love that can never be told. And this love in the years of my manhood is even more precious than gold. I was often wayward and careless, but she loved me just the same. And when I was cruel and heartless, her heart condoned the shame. No task was too great for her fingers. Now they are wrinkled, twisted, and bent. Ah, my memory fondly lingers on the ministries heaven sent. Her dark raven tresses are turning to winter's gray, but the wealth of her caresses grows greater every day. My mother, my beautiful mother, thank God for your life sublime. You have taught us, brothers and sisters, the noblest lessons of time. That to others our love should be given, that our work should always be right. Your reward is secured up in heaven, a crown in the mansion of life. It's always so hard for me to read that. I want to share one last poem she gave again when I was a kid, and I gave you that image of the Blessed Mother standing at the foot of the cross. And so she told me this poem called The Cross it's a Catholic priest. His name is John Tabb, T-A-B-B, also died in 1909. And, he was a convert to the Catholic faith and became a priest. And this is a simple kid's prayer, but I'll read this. Maybe you want to, listen to this, and you can go to the archives on Inside Catholic Radio and get this, or look this up, called The Cross by Father John Tabb, T-A-B-B. And simple, here it is. The cross is tall and I too small to reach his hands or touch his feet, but on the sand his footprints I have found, and it is sweet to kiss the holy ground. That may be simple and childlike, but that's how God looks at us. No matter what we did, no matter what we said or what we failed to do, he loves us with our whole heart. He wants us to turn to him and to go to him, raise our arms up to him, and he'll carry us like we're little kids and comfort us and say, there, I love you. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. And he will take care of everything. And at the same time, our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Mother, will do the same thing. And they want us all to be there as a family in heaven, to be with our Lord, our Lady, the Holy Trinity, and live happily ever after in heaven. And so I hope with these different stories, these poems, that it has touched your heart, your mind, your soul, that it will invigorate you and go back to the faith if you haven't gone back to church yet or you haven't gone to confession. I hope it sparks some motivation or enthusiasm, also to dig into Scripture, but also to go make sure that this Sunday you go to Mass, maybe bring your mom there or go with your mom, go take her out, thank your wife who's the mother of your children, and just thank the Blessed Mother, too, for being that spiritual mother who loves us and is trying to lead us and tell us to do whatever Jesus tells us to do. So God bless you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to my show here, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. I know you have can tune into any other show out there. You can watch TV. You can go on YouTube. You can go anywhere on social media, but you decided to choose and spend time with me here. I can't thank you enough, and God bless you. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio, signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. God bless you now.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next week for another episode of Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.